It seems that every time someone such as myself attempts to encourage our Christian brothers and sisters to resist an unconstitutional or otherwise reprehensible government policy, we hear the retort, what about Romans chapter 13? We Christians must submit to government, any government, read your Bible and just leave me alone, or words to that effect. No doubt some who use this argument are sincere. They are only repeating what they've heard their said spiritual overseers or other religious leaders say. And on the other hand, let's be honest enough to admit that some who use this argument are just plain lazy, apathetic, and indifferent. And Romans 13 is their escape from personal responsibility. I suspect this is the much larger group, by the way. Nevertheless, for the benefit of those who are sincere but obviously misinformed, let's briefly examine Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Do our Christian friends who use these verses to teach that we should not oppose the said president or any other political representative really believe that civil magistrates have unlimited authority to do anything that they want to without opposition? I doubt they truly believe that. For example, what if our president decided to resurrect the old monarchical custom of prima nocta? That's the law of first night. That was the old medieval custom when the king claimed the right to sleep with the subject's bride on the first night of their marriage. Would our sincere Christian brethren sheepishly say, Romans chapter 13 says we must submit to the government? I think not. And would any of us respect any man who would submit to such a law? So, there are limits to authority. A father has authority in his home, but does this give him the power to abuse his wife and children? Of course not. An employer has authority on the job, but does this give him power to control the private lives of his employees? No. A spiritual overseer has overseer authority in the church, but this does not give him the power to tell his ministers in his church as to how to run their businesses. Of course not. All human authority is limited in nature. No man has unlimited authority over the lives of other men. Lordship and sovereignty is the exclusive domain of Jesus Christ. By the same token, a civil magistrate has authority in civil matters, but its authority is limited and defined. Observe that Romans chapter 13 clearly limits the authority of civil government by strictly defining its purpose. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Notice that civil government must not be a terror to good works. It has no power or authority to terrorize good works or good people, because God never gave it that authority. And any government that oversteps that divine boundary has no divine authority or protection. Civil government is a minister of God to thee for good. It is not a minister of God for evil. Civil magistrates have a divine duty to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. They have no authority to execute wrath upon him that doeth good. None, zilch, zero. And anyone who says they do is lying. So even in the midst of telling Christians to submit to civil authority, Romans chapter 13 limits the power and reach of civil authority. Did Moses violate?
Here we
at
go.
A meeting of the Council of Safety in Lebanon, Connecticut, near the close of 1776, when the prospects of our success to establish America as an independent nation looked dark, two members of the council were invited to the home of Mr. and Mrs. William Williams. Their names were Benjamin Huntington and William Hillhouse. The conversation turned upon the gloomy outlook. However, Mr. Hillhouse expressed hope and confidence. Mr. Williams stated, "If we fail, I know what my fate will be. I have done so much to prosecute the war, and one thing I have done which the British will never pardon, I have signed the Declaration of Independence, I shall be hanged." Mr. Hillhouse replied, "Well, if we fail, I shall be exempt from the gallows, for my name is not attached to the Declaration, nor have I ever written against the British government." "Then, sir," said Mr. Williams,
"that's why you should be hanged."
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently, we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Hey, folks, as I was talking about yesterday and laying to your candor in question, isn't it interesting that the politicians need your approval to actually occupy office? And with your disapproval, look what happens when people say that they've had enough. And it shows you again that the power truly lies within the people when they're willing to stand up and do something about what's going on. Now, everybody in the state of Minnesota, I'm just going to cover this real quick, friends, because we're going to be getting over to how did our forefathers teach us to respond to what's going on? Because everybody feels this across the country. Believe me, everybody feels this. And so I want to address this, and I want you to see how this goes for these individuals. Because in the state of Minnesota, we've watched Tim Walz. We've watched Keith Ellison commit the act of treason. We've seen them call for 200 to 300% more Somalians who are 100% guilty of this fraud. Everyone has been prosecuted has been Somalian. Just so you know, I save one. I believe one of them wasn't. And interestingly enough, Ilhan Omar's a part of that pack, and the list goes on. And every single one of them, in every single case since this has been exposed, they have been there. Ilhan Omar, Keith Ellison, Tim Walz, Jacob Frey have been doing nothing but defending the Somalians concerning their crimes that they're guilty of against the people of the state of Minnesota. Which shows you, in fact, friends, who is overseeing this operation with the help of the accomplices called the mainstream media. You can rest assured, friends, there's crooked is a donkey's hind leg. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. But I want to show you the response of the people when Jacob Frey was trying to do business as usual in the state of Minnesota. Now, before I show you this inaugural address and how the people responded to it, I want you to go over to sonsoflibertymedia.com, subscribe to that page, sonsoflibertymedia.com, and or beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com. And again, if at any time you want to give us a call, give us a call at 281-845-4704. That number again is 281-845-4704. I want you to listen carefully if you cannot see this on social media platforms. This is Jacob Frey with a half smirk on his little sick, demented, abominable face.
He is an abomination. He's a little sodomite that advocates everything that wars against who we are as a people. And the very people that are warring against us, that are guilty of fraud, he has stood on their side, assailing the American people, namely the people in the state of Minnesota. And again, they want you to believe that he was voted in by the people. And in, that's just a side note, but there's more information coming out concerning the massive fraud and the voter fraud that's taking place across this country, friends. Again, there's massive voter fraud taking place, which only explains every single one of these scoundrels that abides in office today. Again, it shows you, and they're showing you who they're serving, and it's not the people of the United States of America. Listen how the people are responding to this little abominable crook named Jacob Frey. He is the said Minneapolis mayor who was voted in, they say, on the behalf of the Somalian communities, friends. It's not about the people of the state of Minnesota. It's against the people of the state of Minnesota. But again, I want you to hear his inaugural address concerning how it went over for him just last night.
To our council members.
He's not saying anything because the people in the audience are beginning to shout him down.
To our city council members, our park board commissioners, and our board of estimate and taxation commissioners.
Commissioners.
Both returning.
The people are shouting him down from all over this little auditorium. How's that working out for him, people? When you have had enough,
thank you.
How's that working out for him? See?
Thank you.
And folks, and yeah, and he's saying thank you, right? As people are shouting him down, he's trying to sell it to the people like the people are there for him. In fact, they're not. Whoever he is the spokesman for, friends, I'm telling you what, I would get away from him as fast as I possibly could. Because people have had enough in the state of Minnesota. He can't say anything, friends. People are protesting him, walking up to the stage and shouting him down. He can't say anything. Do you see where the power lies, people? It lies within the people under God when they do the right thing. And they stand up and they say no more to this tyranny, to this fraud, to those that have been planted by the CIA to disrupt, to subvert, to overthrow who we are as a people. That's exactly why they're there, friends. It's exactly why they're there. But we're finding out, folks, he can't say anything. I've been going for about a minute and a half now. People are standing up and shouting him down, as I said. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. I also wanted to highlight this really quick because I want you to hear what it sounds like when a scoundrel, pedophile, fraudster, treasonous at that, Governor Tim Walz, who bowed out yesterday, said he. The only reason he bowed out, friends, is because the people stood up and they said no more. But it does not stop with his resignation. Folks, it stops when he's impeached and he's prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law for all of the crimes that he has committed against the people of the state of Minnesota. What you're seeing in Minnesota right now, friends, needs to start happening across America. It's not just highlighting the crimes now. The people are standing up and they're beginning to deal with the criminals themselves. But I want you to listen to what it sounds like when a communist hears the people stand up against them. This is what the devil and his minions respond with, Revelation 12:10.
Without having to spend any time worrying about the politics of this, I'm going to fight it, making sure that Minnesotans are cared for. I'm going to fight it by doing the way, the respect that we should have.
He's
going to
take care of the Minnesotans the way that they should be cared for after they were just ripped off over almost $18 billion by yours truly. By yours truly. What does he do? He gets in front of the people and he tells them the opposite of what he is responsible for. This is what politicians do. But it's interesting. You can see, friends, he's being pressed right now because he's already had to, as he says, bow out. But now look who he starts to respond. Guess who he starts to accuse now?
Rule of law. So I just think all of you see this. It is just going to be relentless. Why 2,000 folks? What are they coming? Do they want to coordinate with us? You saw a U.S. attorney stand up which was been released by, would have been let go by any other administration.
Yeah, the prosecuting attorney, his name is Joe Thompson. He stood up and he highlighted the crimes and the fraud that the Somalians in Tim Walz and Keith Ellison and Ilhan Omar and Jacob Frey are responsible for. So what do? It's like when the Lord sends in the prophets. What do? The bad guys accuse the prophets of what they're guilty of. It's exactly what you're seeing on display by this tyrant who's being exposed for who he really is. And I praise God for his mercy. Luke 12:2. We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Hi, this is R.W. Kruger. I've done sound, lighting, backline, and performed with Bradley Dean touring high schools across the country. How many times I've heard Bradley say things during these assemblies, and I thought it had nothing to do with what was happening during the time he was saying it. And now, 10 years later, it's exactly what we are dealing with. How does that work? Years of fighting the good fight with guidance from above. That is how he works. Support Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. They are tested, tried, and true.
Signer of the Declaration of Independence, John Hancock, rightly stated, "Resistance to tyranny becomes the Christian and social duty of each individual. Continue steadfast and with the proper sense of your dependence on God. Nobly defend those rights which heaven gave, and no man ought to take from us."
BBSRadio.com.
Jessica. Struggling to awaken the woke? Can't seem to cut through their brainwashing? Do you have friends and loved ones who fall in prey to the liberal leftist talking points? Perhaps someone deeply indoctrinated by communist college professors? Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed newspaper that'll give you the ammo you need to make your point, with truth they can't deny. But warning, it may make them cry. Sign up now at WisconsinChristianNews.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, 281-845-4704. I was just highlighting Matthew 23:37, and it's interesting to note that when the Lord would send in prophets to point their finger at the guilty party within the body, let's put it in present terms, the body of Christ, what did the people want to do? Well, in America today, they completely disregard the prophet. Yet the Bible says to believe the prophets, because when you believe the prophets, you'll prosper, right? And yet over and over in the New Testament, it talks about coveting the very gifts. And it says that we have the giftings of the Spirit, namely prophecy in 1 Corinthians 12, for the purpose that we're not ignorant and that we are not what? Misled. And yet what's happening here, this scoundrel, Tim Walz, who is being found out for his crimes, is pointing his finger back at the prosecutor, namely Joe Thompson, for exposing his fraud, and he's saying that he should be let go. It doesn't stop there. Let me show you this really quick before we get to the main topic. I got to hurry this up so I can stay on course today.
without having to spend any time worrying about the politics of this. I'm going to fight it, making sure that
you can see he's getting a little frantic, friends.
I'm going to fight it by doing the respect that we should have for rule of law. So I just think all of you see this. It is just going to be relentless.
He is a demented individual.
What are they coming? Do they want to coordinate with us? You saw a U.S. attorney stand up, which was been released by would have been let go by any other administration. Speculating about things with no factual information.
Speculating. Again, folks, it comes back to how the media spins this. The media spin doctors, the useful idiots, what do? They're saying that this is all allegations, yet there's over 100 people that have already been charged. Okay, so there's already water under the bridge. We're already past this point, but they keep bringing these talking points up in hopes of deflecting their responsibility, which they're not going to get beyond at this point. As a matter of fact, if it was true what he's saying, then why is it that he allegedly bowed out? Because he knows at this point, this is just the beginning. And folks, I hope, seriously, I hope in every sense of the word that he is held according into the degree of his crimes that he's committed against the people. And the people in Minnesota should be up in arms, literally, throughout the state, demanding the state return that money and demand immediately that they deport all of these individuals that are not here to assimilate. Again, this is the tip of the iceberg. I suspect that Ellison's going to be going with this, Ilhan Omar as well. It's time for the people to stand up and mean what they say and send the message that we're not going to be dictated like this in any sense of the word. This devil right here, there is honestly, when I talk about John 8:44 and it talks about Jesus confronting the religious hypocrites of the day, when he said there's no truth in him, folks, these people, you need to understand, they are abominable. They're dangerous, not only to their country, but to themselves as well. And folks, referring to what, again, our Lord said, there is no truth in these people. There's none. Let's listen to the rest of this.
I mean, that's and that's coming from the attorney. We are under assault.
We're under assault. No, when you commit a crime and the law comes in full force to condemn your crimes, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but the purpose is to condemn your crime so we can establish righteousness and peace within the gate. Without the law, we would never know that. And who is the lawless one? Satan himself and his minions, as you can see.
Like no other time in our state's history, because of a petty, vile administration.
A petty, vile administration. A petty. $18 billion, Minnesota, and he's minimizing his crimes. That's all he's trying to do. I wanted to bring up one more point concerning Tim Walz. You all know that Tim Walz was tied to the killing of Minnesota Rep. Melissa Hortman after she voted against taxpayer-funded welfare for illegal aliens. The one that actually committed the crime was an aide, both him and his wife. He was the one that was sent, he told the FBI, to kill Melissa Horn and another individual because they voted not in favor of what this dictator wanted them to vote in favor of. But he wrote down and told the FBI that Tim Walz is the one that basically told him to do what he just did concerning the murder of Melissa Hortman. Listen to this real quick.
Minnesota state rep that had her life taken from her by Tim Walz's aide after voting to take away health care from illegal immigrants.
She was unalived in her home by Vance Bolter, who was later caught after a manhunt. He then sent a letter to the FBI and Kash Patel saying that it was Tim Walz who forced him to do it. Both Vance Bolter and his wife worked for Tim Walz.
Okay, so folks, it gets deeper. There's a lot more at work here. People are standing up, and I praise God for every single one of them, which begs the question, and this is a perfect segue into the topic here. How did our forefathers teach us to respond to tyranny? I mean, I can give you a quick answer, and I can say we're done now. Read the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence is all you need to understand as to how our forefathers dealt with the tyranny that they threw off over 250 years ago that their posterity now is subjugating themselves to. Isn't that crazy? It absolutely is, in every sense of the word. Three quarters of that documentation concerning the Declaration of Independence, did you know that that was the usurpations that they were highlighting concerning what they didn't put up with concerning the tyrant across the pond?
And again, what is their motto? I have these on coffee cups right here. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Well, is that true? Well, let's go to John Hancock. John Hancock was the first signer of the Declaration of Independence. And the History of the United States of America, Volume 2, page 229, John Hancock answers the question that I'm proposing to you, my viewers and my listeners. What did he say as to how, and how did he teach their posterity, me and you, as to how to deal with those that are not ruled by God's moral law? He said, quote, "Resistance to tyranny becomes the Christian and social duty of each individual." Is he scripturally sound? He's spot on. Sound means without error. He goes on, "Continue steadfast," that means fixed in direction, "with a proper sense of your dependency upon God. Nobly defend those rights that God gave, which heaven gave," he said, "and no man ought to take from us." Isn't that interesting? Well, I can give you a quote from Theodore Roosevelt from the 1920s who said something similar. I want you to remember that the word patriotism, which President Roosevelt used here, the word in Webster's 1828 means to uphold dying laws. And if we're premised on common law, God's moral law, the Torah, then what laws is he talking about? Well, they're self-explanatory, right? He said, patriotism means to, it does not mean, or he said, I'm sorry, patriotism means to stand by the country. It does not mean to stand by the president or any other public official, save exactly to the degree in which he himself stands by the country. It is patriotic, he said, to support him insofar as he is efficiently serving the country. It is unpatriotic not to oppose inefficiency or otherwise if he fails in his duty to stand by the country. In either event, it is unpatriotic not to tell the truth, whether about the president or anyone else. And this includes the mayors, this includes the governors, this includes all of the above when it comes to those that occupy the office and the offices of the United States of America concerning our representative system of government, limited system of government. And I don't think people spend enough time in understanding what our forefathers did. I think that they're just told today, somehow or another, and I'm not even kidding when I'm saying this, and I gotta laugh because it's so ridiculous. It is so unscriptural at every given sense of the word. When it comes to the hirelings, John 10:12, that are tolerated in the pulpits of America, that are telling us that we need to just go ahead and submit to government, any government, all government, no matter what they say, it goes. Nonsense. Let me bring you back, just to set a premise here for you, friends, a starting point concerning this little exposition that we're going to go through over the next segments, the next two segments. When you look at your said representatives, those that serve we the people, let me just ask you, you fill the blanks in for me again, because it's a law unto itself when you answer the questions. When they serve we the people, what do they do before they serve we the people? Where do they put their hand? They put their hand on the what? The Bible, right? And then what do? They swear an oath. That's found in Ecclesiastes 5, 4, Numbers 30, verse 2, Deuteronomy 23, 23. And they're supposed to uphold that oath, right? And what does it say inside of that oath? It said that they are to stand against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, so help me God. But what are they saying? That we will uphold the enumerated laws found in the Constitution, which are premised on what? The Word of God. The Word of God. Can anybody tell me or show me in Scripture where the Lord ever gave command to any of his prophets, any of his apostles, any of his evangelists, pastors, or the list goes on as to who they are in Ephesians 4:11? Can anybody show me in that word, the Word of God, where God ever gave command where they're supposed to disobey the Lord in obedience to a tyrant in making war against God? Read Micah 3:5. 281-845-4704. We'll be right back.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. This proposed by Benjamin Franklin for the motto of the Great Seal of the United States. You say, what Great Seal? Well, Jefferson's edit of Franklin's design was recommended by the First Committee for the reverse side of the Great Seal. Pharaoh sitting in an open chariot, a crown on his head and a sword in his hand, passing through the divided waters of the Red Sea in pursuit of the Israelites. Rays from a pillar of fire in the cloud, expressive of the divine presence and command, beaming on Moses who stands on the shore and extending his hand over the sea, causes it to overwhelm Pharaoh. Motto, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God.
Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed, real printed newspaper that takes on the tough issues of our day, and we don't waste time with nonsense. We have some of the best red pill writers in the country, including Bradley Dean, and we tell you the truth you need to know. It's unlike anything you've seen before. Email us to get your free sample copy. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Also, watch our TV program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central at WCNTV.net.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you're already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
This is Bill Pacey from Michigan. As a believer, I'm in constant battle to stay true to God's word instead of compromising to please the spirits that have infiltrated many churches today. That's why I turn to Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty radio show. They challenge me to stay anchored in God's word while standing firm on the principles our nation was founded on. Tune in Monday through Saturday at 2 o'clock p.m. Central for biblical truths. Visit sonsoflibertyradio.com to listen.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Now, before we get going here, I just want to highlight what Scripture says again. When you look at Matthew 5:17, you can clearly see that Jesus, again, didn't come to abrogate the law. He came to fulfill the law. Okay? He said, do you think that I come to destroy the law of the prophets? He goes, I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill the law. Not one jot nor one tittle shall any wise pass away until all be fulfilled. What do you think the cross was, friends? It was a fulfilling of the law against sin. It's twofold. Now, with that, friends, also understand it tells us in Romans 3:31 that do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish the law through faith, okay? So when we look at natural law, we see if someone violates or transgresses that law, which is sin, 1 John 3:4, it teaches us God's moral law in the natural, because what's happening in the spirit is perpetual, And it bleeds down, should I say, in ratification through that blood and manifests itself as to how we operate as a country today. I don't know how it can be any more clear than that, friends. Praise God for law. Okay, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and that is a fulfilling of it, which drives us to the cross, where Christ, through his mercy, because of his mercy and through his grace, fulfills that law. Okay, he does it. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. Titus 3:5. Read it when you get a moment. I'm not just throwing that stuff out there, friends, to try to be cool. I'm not doing that. And furthermore, if you go over to Mark 10, you can start seeing in verse 17 where Jesus used the law. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not lie, do not defraud your father and your mother. Jesus is making reference as a schoolmaster to break men down of their self-dependence, which brings them to the cross, because the law of God detects and grace conquers, grace alone conquers, said Augustine. So I want to make clear that you all understand that before we get going. And I also want you to make clear in your minds and in your hearts, that as William Blackstone rightly said, he was a commentator on the laws of England, English common law. He said, no enactment of man can be considered law unless it conforms to the law of God. He said, as he continues, these are the eternal, immutable, unchangeable laws of good and evil to which the Creator himself in all of his dispensations conforms. Right. That's, again, pretty simple to understand, isn't it? And if you think about John Wycliffe, who was martyred, it's interesting what he had to say. He said, the Bible is for the government, of the people, by the people, and for the people. He's, again, absolutely right. So in saying all of that, how are we supposed to respond to all of the fraud that we see today, to all of the acts of tyranny that are taking place, or dictators, or these scandals that are being exposed of them lying and stealing and killing just like their father, the devil, John 10:10. How are we supposed to respond to them? Well, if you go to 99% of the churches of America today, if you want to call them that, they're unchristian churches, though, mind you. They can call Jesus all that they want to call Jesus their Lord, but they don't do the things that he commands them. So that tells me that they're unchristian, they're not Christian, and they're hypocrites, they're pretenders. And if you look at Matthew 23, you'll see Jesus continuously rebuking them for the fact that they tell everybody else what they're supposed to do, but they themselves don't practice what they preach. And then he undresses them as a prophet does, and calling them out for their hypocrisies. But why is it that when you go into a church today in America, you're taught by these unprincipled, unconverted individuals, which again are called hirelings. You can call them charlatans if you like to. But when you look at them, how is it that they're telling you that you're supposed to submit to government no matter what it is that they do, or no matter what it is that they say? Because I can't find that in the Bible anywhere, friends. Again, why are they then, and why are we hearing Romans 13 being preached completely backwards, as if to suggest that we're to submit to tyrants? Now listen, when you go to Romans 13:1, it says, for there is no power but of God. Who ordained that power? The Lord did. The powers that are ordained of God. But again, what do we see? Well, Charles Spurgeon nailed it when he said, a time will come when instead of the shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have the clowns entertaining the goats. That's exactly what you're seeing. That's why they become entertainment centers now, friends. They have to entertain people to draw them in. They have to have pizza parties. They have to have celebrities come in, like TPUSA did just a couple weeks ago. And the only problem is that we didn't turn out to be as stupid as they wanted us to be when they bring a Satanist into the church. And then call them out to be children of the Lord, and that they have hearts after the Lord when they're serving the devil. Like Nicki Minaj? Are you kidding me? See, again, friends, that's why we stick to the word here. But again, I want to make clear, friends, that we aren't called nowhere to submit to tyranny. And let me add this. I don't care if the president of corporate America, Donald Trump, or any other said president up to that point or past to 1871, I don't care what they say. If it is in contrast or it runs antithetical to God's moral law, they can go pound sand, people, because I am not going to obey. I am not going to disobey the Lord in obedience to a tyrant that disobeys the Lord. And I don't care if he calls himself a Christian or not. If his fruit doesn't line up with his profession, he's a liar and there's no truth in him.
When we go back and we look at guys like Patrick Henry, everybody praises him. Everybody called him a prophet, the voice of a prophet. If you go to Yorktown Museum, you'll see that they call him a prophet, the voice of a prophet. He said Caesar had his Brutus, Charles I had his Cromwell, and he said George III, the one that our forefathers threw off, he said treason, cried the speaker. May profit by their example, he said, but if this be treason, Patrick Henry encouraged him in his treason, and he said, you better make the most of it because we're not putting up with it anymore. We're seeing trickles of this right now. We're seeing the American people starting to understand their heritage. They're starting to understand the lessons of their forefathers and what it took to actually stand up and learning the lessons against those that mean to enslave us. We'll have none of that. We will have none of that. Now, I want to show you some things over here in Scripture as well. When you look at Exodus 5, I want you to line this up with what you're being told in the American version of what they call the Christian church. Do you remember in Exodus 5 when Moses, the meekest man alive, power under control is what the word means, doesn't mean him walking around like some effeminate pansy smacking sheep on the backside of the desert, telling them everything is okay. No, that's not at all what meekness is, nor is humility that. It's being who you are in Christ, in the power of Christ, okay? But do you remember in Exodus 5:1 where Moses and Aaron went in because the Lord commanded them to go to the face of Pharaoh, and he commanded both of them to tell Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, his people. He said, Moses did, through commandment, to the face of Pharaoh, with his finger pointed at his face, he said, let my people go. So the ones that were given the orders were the church, under the power of the Holy Ghost. They were the ones that were given the righteous authority. And when you're said magistrates, and that's what they are, notice the church vernacular there, but you're said representative government goes down to the lines of magistrates. And when you think of magistrates, friends, when they stand outside of the scope of their given authority through Scripture, which is called canon law, you are to no more obey them than you would anybody else that's in disobedience towards the living God. What about Daniel 3? What about Nebuchadnezzar? Do you remember when the king sent to gather the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers? They were all in it. The counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image what Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Do you remember what happened there, friends? Do you remember that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, absolutely not. We will not bow down. We will not serve your idols. And do you remember what Nebuchadnezzar did, friends? He threw them in the fire. He heated it up 7 times. And the only individuals that were hurt by that fire were the ones that heated the fire up 7 times. So they reaped what reaped what they sowed instantaneously, Galatians 6, 7, and 8, just right on the spot, because God is not mocked. Notice that when the fire was heated up, the fourth man appeared. Nebuchadnezzar noticed it, and after they were released, the Bible tells us not a hair of their head was singed, and in the process of their obedience, Nebuchadnezzar was the one who in part acknowledged the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego throughout the whole providence. So if they didn't obey, the Lord wouldn't have been glorified. Do you see how that worked? Did they bow? Nope. Did they burn? Nope. Was God glorified? Yep. John 15:8. What about Daniel? You know, the guy that kept praying and praying and praying, and he and his prosecutors within the administration to which he was appointed, and they tried to catch him. And they caught him praying. And remember, they said, you know, the only ones that we want to pray or who they should pray to are to the king. And the king agreed to it somehow or another. And what they did is they were setting up Daniel, who was thrown in the lion's den. But do you remember what Scripture teaches us, friends? Because Scripture tells us that in Daniel 6:22, that God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, insomuch as I was found innocent before the Lord, and also towards you, O king. I have committed no crime, and the Lord blessed him according to his own integrity, as King David rightly said. But do you remember the fallout? Now, did Daniel bow to the dictates of man, the commandments of men that make void the law of God? that Jesus warned us of in Mark 7? No, no, sir, he didn't. And because he didn't bow, he went through the trial and the testings, right? And in the process of that, when he was exonerated of what he was accused of, what happened? All of those accusers and prosecutors were thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and their children. Hey, folks, you better understand the character of God, because there's people out there that you want to sit there and play with God's anointed. You better understand what you're playing with, because Deuteronomy 19:19 tells us that whatever you intend to do to an anointed man or woman of God, you can surely rest that it's going to fall back upon your own heads. And does it? That's what the Word of God teaches us. We'll be right back.
Nations around the world, including the U.S., are being purposely destroyed from within by their own governments. Are you tired of the lies of the politicians and communists? Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper that tells it like it is. We don't have time for nonsense. We publish the truth, whether it's popular or not. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio. The TV is my shepherd, I shall not want. It makes me to lie down on the sofa. It leads me away from the faith, and it destroys my soul. It leads me in the paths of sex and violence for the sponsor's sake. Yeah, though I walk in the shadow of Christian responsibilities, there will be no interruptions, for the TV is with me. Its cable and its remote control, they comfort me. It prepares a commercial before me in the presence of my worldliness. It anoints my head with humanism and consumerism. My coveting runneth over. Surely laziness and ignorance shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of watching TV forever. Now we can understand where Harry S. Truman got his understanding from when he said, "The fundamental basis of this nation's law was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings which we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul."
This is Richard Mast, attorney with Liberty Counsel. Bradley Dean and Sons of Liberty Radio are on the front lines of our culture war, and I am proud to call them brothers in arms. What America needs now is more people telling the truth, regardless of the cost. Bradley is one of those people.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Do want to give everybody a heads up, if you don't mind. The brand new book, Face Off, Weapons of War, is now available. Want to tell you, appreciate the orders. They're available. They'll go out first thing in the morning. Weapons of War, Face Off. It is everything to do with the prophet, according to testimony, 19:10 of Revelation, and it's premised on the Word of God, and it just goes back to the simplicity of the Word and understanding the belief and understanding of how the function is never, it's never been a thing of the past, friends. The only people that you're hearing that from are the cessationists. Those are the ones that believe that everything just stopped, when no, we're continuationists because the Lord hasn't changed. Malachi 3:6, Hebrews 13:8, and the list goes on. But again, if you want to order your book, Face Off, they are available. We got a limited amount of them.
And we got about 100 of them going out the door tomorrow. So I would strongly suggest, I guess it gives me a good gauge as to if we need to order some more or not. But again, they are available. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, Face Off Weapons of War. It's the gift of the prophet, the function of the prophet, and the characteristics of the prophet. And your orders will go out first thing tomorrow morning. And you'll have your orders within 2 to 3 days. Cool? We got Henry calling in from Arkansas. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty, my friend. What say you?
Well, Bradley, I've been listening to everything you've been saying, and you're absolutely right. And here's all I got to say to America is this, to what you was asking about what our forefathers would have done, they'd have took them out back and hung them right there.
Well, you know what? In fact, that's exactly the truth of the matter, and I got story after story story. Yes. Yep, you're correct.
And that's the problem now.
Yeah. Well, I think it's okay.
Why do y'all think they keep pushing this stuff?
Yeah.
It's because we let them, America.
Yeah.
We let them. You know how many times I've invoked articles of impeachment down here at my capital? Hey, nobody cares.
Yeah. Until it comes to their front door, which it will sooner or later, correct?
They don't care.
Yeah. Totally agree.
You call them, they won't call you back. You go down there, nobody knows nothing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Everybody plays dumb.
Well, I'll give you an analogy, Henry. I totally appreciate your phone call. I love the fire. I love the aggression. I love the fact that he understands that we're in a war. Most people don't. You know, when people look at me and say, why are you so bothered about all of this stuff? I sit there and say to myself, why aren't you bothered about what's going on here? But there's a true story told of Harriet Tubman. If you have not heard this, you need to hear this. Harriet Tubman was a slave, and they called her the Black Moses. And what she did is she got to the point where she said she was sick and tired of working for her master on the plantation. So what she did is she broke away from her chains and her slavery. She became educated. And first and foremost, that is exactly why they withheld the Bible from their slaves' friends, because they didn't want them to be educated. But she became educated, and what she did is she went from plantation to plantation to plantation, and she began to tell other slaves to break free from their masters. And at the end of her life, she was asked the question, this Black Moses, Harriet Tubman, is it true that you freed thousands of slaves? And she said, yes. She said, I would have freed thousands more had they realized that they were slaves. And see, that's where America's at. That's what Henry was just talking about. Americans, you are enslaved to no end to a corporate world where these people act as if they're above the law. You have been enslaved. It's not like you're going to be enslaved. And you have your role. If you have been enslaved, you have the role of who you are and those said representatives are. In fact, you have them completely backwards. Here, let me give you a prime example of that, because this leads me into a prime answer concerning Henry's statement in my comments concerning what I just shared on top of what Henry shared. The biblical view of government is the state is divinely ordained. Okay? The state is divinely ordained by who? The Lord. Okay? Liberty is the right to do what the law permits, Charles D. Montesquieu. State authority is limited. It is limited. They can't do whatever they want to do to you. Biblical view of government leads to patriotism, okay? And it results as a constitutional republic, which we are, Article 4, Section 4, and it's based upon creation. See, Americans have exchanged that for what I'm going to share with you next. It's a pagan view of government where you think somehow or another the state has now become divine and they're above the law. They're without consequence when they break the law, and they can do whatever they want to do arbitrarily. Nonsense. That is a pagan view of government. That is, the state is divine. No, it is not. State's authority is unlimited. They can do whatever they want. That is absolutely untrue. They derive their just powers from the consent of we the people. What this leads to when you are a slave, it leads to state worship. They begin to worship the politicians. The result is tyranny, and it's based upon what? Evolution. Hey, folks, whenever you hear the word evolution, you better run the other way, because when a government, by the way, this started with Eisenhower back in the 30s. In the 50s. He started to add it to the books. I know you've been sold that he's a good guy, but folks, a lot of stuff he did, it's just the exact opposite. He's the one that started to drop in and poison the books with evolution. And the reason they use the word evolution and they begin to teach men evolution is because it means they're trying to deplatform the living God so they can put themselves on it. That's what's going on here. Okay? Great point, Henry. Love the fire, Henry. I really truly do. I wish America was filled with you sort of men. I honestly do. Because we wouldn't be in the predicament that we're in right now under God. Okay, so I just highlighted Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar. What about Elijah? Going back to how did our forefathers, what is it that they taught us to do concerning tyrants? They said, throw them off. They were the ones that said, even Abraham Lincoln of all people said it, right? Love him or hate him. He was right in what he said. It. We're not called to overthrow the Constitution. We're called to overthrow the men that pervert the Constitution. Why is that so far out there, Americans? Because you've been listening to the mainstream media and Fox News far too long. See, that's a prime example of Christened slaves, paid slaves. Those are the, hey, folks, those are the ones that keep the slaves in line, like Uncle Tom, okay? That's who those people are. That's why they never give you reference to law in condemning the crimes of their favorite politicians. No, that's why they created a divide and conquer system, which is completely nonsense from start to finish. There is no Democratic Party. There is no Republican Party. For all of you people out there, you're still talking those, you're still parroting the mainstream media and they're useful idiots. Remember what I just said? Can you imagine how much more stupid you look when you're parroting these useful idiots that are creating a language that's been, what is it made for? To make lies sound truthful? It doesn't exist. But yet you keep talking that way. And what's crazy about it is you think you know what you're talking about. That's scary. That is scary stuff. You foam out your shame and your ignorance and you go around acting like you know what you're talking about. I see it all day long, especially from representatives that you respect. They constantly keep fueling this narrative that Jesus said to beware of, and yet they call themselves Christians. You can also look at Mark 3:25 and Mark 8:15. Let me go over to Elijah really quick. Do you remember Elijah in 1 Kings 18? The Bible says, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, the corrupt king, that Ahab, the corrupt king, said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And what did Elijah say to him, that lone holy prophet of God? He said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandment of the Lord. Who is he talking to? The corrupt king? Did that lone holy prophet of God, did he bow his knee to the corrupt king? No, not at all. That's how the Lord's glorified, people. What about the New Testament? Luke 3:19. But Herod, the tetrarch, he was the governor of that province, being reproved by him, John the Baptist, for Herodias, his brother, Philip's wife, and for all of the evils which Herod had done. You know, you're told today, you know, we just got to submit. Oh my goodness, I can't even believe this, guys. He's pointing his finger back at the corrupt governor. He's calling out the said president of the United States and all of his scandals and his crimes and his lies. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us to do? You better bet your bottom dollar teaches us to do that. And it's not just found in Luke 3:19. It's found in Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. I'm just curious when I hear people say that, what Bible are you reading? Or should I say, which one is it that you're not reading? What about Peter in Acts 12? It talks about this in Acts 4 as well. It's fantastic. Do you remember when Peter was thrown in jail for preaching Christ crucified? Do you remember this? And the Bible tells us in Acts 12, 7, 11, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, Peter, and a light shined in the prison because he was thrown in prison, which is man-made by the corrupt king Herod. Notice how when he was thrown in prison for preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, the Lord sends an angel to break him out of prison. Doesn't this run antithetical to what you're being told in America today? The Bible says, and when he arrived in the prison, the light shined. And I want you to listen to this. I'm going to go for a minute. To our affiliates, we love you by what we do, and we will talk to you in 23. And I'm going to continue here on sonsoflibertymedia.com and beforeitsnews.com as well. So I go over to Acts 12:7-11. Peter's thrown into prison for preaching Jesus Christ crucified. The Bible says while he was in prison, the angel of the Lord that the Lord sent came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell from off his hands. Is that what you're being taught today? Absolutely not, Americans. Absolutely not. Who's responsible for all of the lies, the omissions? These truths that are unspoken, who's responsible for all of this, friends? I'm asking you. You answer the question. So that way you don't feel like I'm pointing my finger at you. You answer the question. You already know the answer. The answer is you're hearing this from the pulpits of America across the boards that are leading you to a foreign system of governments that the Lord did not establish. That's what you're hearing today concerning the Zionists. It's exactly what you're hearing. And that's what they're promoting throughout the United States of America. Okay, they're leading you. And by the way, that's a part of a curse as well. They shall set a king over you, a king that you didn't know, the Bible tells us, right? And he'll begin to rule over you. Maybe that's why Netanyahu, Mylakowski, from the synagogue of Satan, is going around the Middle East bragging about how he's dictating Trump in our government. Let me go over to another one. I'm talking about how our forefathers and the patriarchs of the faith, how did they teach us to respond to tyranny, friends? Is this Bradley Dean? Is he an insurrectionist? No, not at all. Not at all. I'm an enforcer of the laws that the Lord gave against tyranny by resisting it if need be. What did Jesus teach us in Luke 13:32? Jesus said to the Pharisees that came to him and said, either you get out of here or Herod's going to kill you. What did Jesus do? Did he tuck tail? Did he capitulate opposite of what scripture teaches us? Psalm 78:9. Or did he respond to them in his authority when he said, go and tell that fox? He said, go tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils. I do cures today and tomorrow. On the third day, I shall be perfected. In other words, what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, the Herodians, namely, as well, Mark 8:15, the ones that we're supposed to be aware of, he was basically telling them, I'm not going anywhere. That's what he said. He said, I'm not going anywhere. Wow. It's insane what the people of this country have kept themselves from. But again, what we're doing here, friends, on the Sons of Liberty is we're making clear that people can make distinction to understand who we are so they know where they're going, and they're not going to be able to know where they're going until they first know where they came from. Folks, sonsoflibertymedia.com, brand new books out. Orders will be sent out tomorrow morning, first thing. Plenty of stuff over there. Again, consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. We don't have sponsors. Without you, we don't continue on. We have these that will be sent out for those that become son or daughters of liberty. We're going to pick this thought up and this point up again tomorrow. Love you by what we do, 1 John 3:18. And again, we will talk to you in just 23 hours. See ya.